Are you struggling to create engaging content for your B2B brand? Let Podcast Town help. Our expert services will help you develop a successful content marketing strategy, making your brand stand out and increase revenue. With our guidance, you'll create quality content that resonates with your audience and builds brand loyalty. Visit our website at podcasttown.net to learn more and to get started today. We help you launch, grow, and maximize.
Oh yeah, can I get a Welcome to another episode of Journey to Mastery. I'm your host, LZ, the mayor of Podcast Town. And I know, again, I say this every single week, but I say it every single week because it's true, every single week. I have Cindy Thomason with me, and we're going to talk all about what I want to talk about is her journey to mastering niching down. Because you're listening to this, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you've been through that journey of how do I do take all the things that I could do and focus on the one thing that I should do. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about e-commerce, which is a very interesting topic. I'm curious to learn more about it. And so we're going to talk about those two things. So Cindy, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me, Elsie.
Before we get into any of the good stuff, Cindy, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So let's start off by building on the pre-interview where we were talking all about mastery and self-mastery and how you think about what you think about. Give us a 2-minute version of your journey to where you are today.
Ooh, I'm too old for that. I started this business primarily because I needed some flexibility to help my daughter with tutoring and getting the education she needs. She's dyslexic. And so the resources we need were a couple hours away. And so I started this business to kind of help pay for tutoring, to help a friend that needed help. And I just got hooked back into the accounting world, which was starting to go virtual 10 years ago, and realized it could help me do all the life things that I wanted to do. Plus, it was something that I knew of kind of in my corporate world years ago that I felt good at. And I just took it on and felt like that was going to help me in my journey in my life. And it turned out to be so much more than that because of what I started discovering about myself when I became a business owner.
Yeah, that they always say the key to invention is necessity or something like that. I'm butchering that quote, but something like that. So talk about that a little bit, because I'm always interested and curious in people's thought process as they begin things. So you have a need, you need to, you know, flexibility, you need to extra money to, you know, to support your daughter. What were the first steps that you took? You started the business, and then what did you do next? Did you just hang your shingle up and then people just started flooding to you and you couldn't beat them away with a bat? Or what was that process?
Well, it comes back down to who you know. I had good friends. One friend needed some help in her business, and I started out helping her. Another friend got laid off from a business, and she started her own virtual assistance business. Again, this was like 12 years ago. It was kind of new at that point in time. And she said, hey, I get requests for accounting things. I know you kind of know that. Would you step in and do that when I get clients that need that? And I said, sure. So from those first couple of relationships, it just grew into friends of friends. And that's how it all started. And then I decided I really wanted to focus specifically on the remote accounting piece of it. And by doing that, I attended the very first ever QuickBooks conference, which I guess was 7 or 8 years ago now. Well, no, it's been 10 years ago. And when I attended, I had the chance to hear Mike Michalowicz, who's the author of the book Profit First. And I realized that cash flow management was something that all my clients needed and I needed it. And that really changed the trajectory of how I started my business, you know, how the direction of my business and how quickly it accelerated, et cetera, that relationship with Profit First.
Very cool. So you have found the secret to success, I believe, in niching down. How did you find that secret and what did you end up niching down to?
Well, I was a traditional bookkeeper working with clients that's mostly local to me. And, you know, I had a web designer, I had a social media marketing group, I had a bicycle shop, I had, you know, a variety of who you might go down and see on Main Street, those type of clients. And I loved them. But it was really intensive to have to go to their space and to get their materials, et cetera. And so as I started working more closely with Profit First, the author, Mike Michalowicz, became my business coach. And he told me, he said, the way to really accelerate your growth is by niching down. And so he worked with me to pick out the clients that would be best for my circumstances. And for me, I really wanted to work with clients that were pretty tech savvy already. I didn't want to have to go into their offices and actually get their computers working like they were supposed to and pick up papers. I wanted to avoid all of that. And I had a few clients that were selling on Amazon, and they were already pretty much, you know, in the tech world. They did everything online. And I really loved working with them. And so whenever we were looking at my existing client base and figuring out, okay, who are the people I really gravitate towards working with, it was those folks. And so that was what made the decision. We just were very much in alignment in terms of how we like to work. Many of them were digital nomads all over the world, you know, and I wanted that flexibility too, to be able to travel where I needed to with my daughter. And I didn't want to have to worry about picking up papers and filing them and scanning them and all of that kind of stuff. So as a result, I decided to focus on e-commerce. And even though I focused on e-commerce for 10 years, I continue to niche down in that space because not all e-commerce sellers are alike. They're multiple business models in e-commerce even.
I love it. I love it. So let's talk X's and O's a little bit. As a business owner, how do you think about, and I know you mentioned you're big on Profit First. Talk percentages. How much money do you set aside for staff or operations and all the different aspects of business? Because I can tell you from experience, both good ones and bad ones, knowing how to allocate that dollar that you make is literally the shooting match. Like, you have to know how to allocate those dollars. So speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I try to keep my materials and subs, if you will. It's my labor that for doing direct work in the 30% range. So of the, you know, the dollar that I get in, 30% needs to set aside to pay my team to deliver the product. Then I try to keep my tax percentage somewhere under 15%. I set aside dollars to pay my taxes so that whenever I get the call that, yay, you made a lot of money and you owe a lot of taxes, that's not a big problem. That's like, yeah, I got it. Here you go. So that's 15%. 15% of what's left after my materials and subs. So this is kind of a profit first way of calculating things, but it's the numbers I know. So we get our real revenue in. I take out the 30% for my labor and my software that I pay for on behalf of my clients. And then that leaves me with 70%, which I take back to 100. And then I take out of that, I take out about 15% or less for taxes, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15%. My OPEX is usually about 50% of that real revenue number. So not the top line, but the real revenue number. And then the rest is owner pay and profit. And that's where I pay my husband and I, because he's in the business with me. And then we have a profit account, which in Profit First world, we're building that profit account to be kind of like a rainy day fund. But it's also dollars to that we reward ourselves with, you know, every quarter to say, you know, hey, we took the risk. We're still here. We made some money. That's our profit.
Got it. So what went into the decision, but when you were deciding if you were going to be a solopreneur versus a business that had a team?
I love working with people. I love collaborating with people. My job in the corporate world was all around working with people, cultural change, that kind of thing. And I loved it. And so I knew from the beginning that I would want to have a team. And so as soon as I got to the place that I could afford someone, I hired someone in.
So when, what is that place? How do you know when you're ready and can afford to hire somebody?
It's real easy with Profit First. Basically, I started setting aside salary for what I thought. I figured if I started with somebody, I would get them at a part-time basis. So I figured 15 to 20 hours a week, I could probably hire another mom like me that wanted what I wanted. And sure enough, that's what I did. My washing machine broke down and the repairman came and realized what I was doing. And he said, my wife would love to work with you. And that was how I got my first employee. But I started just setting aside those dollars. I'm like, okay, if I had somebody here to pay to do this, how much would that cost me each week? And I would set those dollars aside. And when I got 3 months worth of salary set aside, at that point, I knew my muscle was kind of built up. I could reliably pay this person. I had set the money aside every week for, you know, the 3 months. And I knew that I had that money available to help with the time it was going to take me to train her and get her up to speed. So I just budgeted for it with my dollars. And then whenever she came on board, it wasn't a big shock.
Now, do you have, Cindy, a system, SOPs or instructions that you created prior to bringing your first employee on?
No, I did not. I brought in somebody who was very talented, and that was the saving grace because she was very, very good at accounting, better than me. She had a degree in accounting and I did not. So, she was excellent and I did not need that. In hindsight, yeah, it would have been great to have had it. And we do have it now, but it's something that came later.
Got it. So let's talk about your business specifically. What are some of the challenges that you're finding e-commerce brands have when they come to you?
Well, many of them are not profitable. Things have changed dramatically since 2020. In 2020, you know, very early on, it was just unclear. Amazon was shutting down what they would take in because they were trying to make sure they had plenty of access to the essentials, you know, like toilet paper that we all needed. And so they shut down some of the non-essential stuff. So it was a real question mark, what's going to happen here? But, you know, the way that played out was we all went shopping on e-commerce and it got a huge boost. And so people ramped up to serve at that level, expecting it to last forever. And it was easy to do because they had all the access to the capital from the PPP loans to the EIDL loans. Those things were infusing money into these small businesses. And their expectation was it was just going to keep growing and growing and growing. But then we kind of had the backlash from everybody being cooped up for so long and they quit shopping as much online. I mean, still a boost from where it was. And if we took out that blip, it would be good growth. But when you bank on the fact that it's going to continue to be super profitable and you're going to continue to grow at that level, that was unsustainable. And so a lot of folks now are dealing with the fact that their loans are spin up and their sales are not where they thought they would be. And they're trying to adjust to pay attention to operations and pay attention to what really you can do as a business owner in a climate that is still robust. I mean, the sales are still robust, but those blips have settled down now. And it's just hard to kind of go backwards if you've been in that mindset of just push and grow at all cost.
Now, Cindy, I don't want you to give away the farm, but give us some hints on how you help these brands get to a place of profitability.
Well, the first thing we do is we try to understand where they're at with their inventory because, inventory is where it's at. They have to be able to replenish the things that are selling well, and they really need the discipline to cut things that are not selling. And sometimes that's a hard, sometimes they don't know which are, you know, which items are which. And so we help them understand that. And then we dive into operating expenses. We typically, when we start working with a client, we can cut out $2,000 worth of operating expenses. And that just goes to the bottom line. So when you cut out those kinds of dollars, it really starts to help. And then the other piece of it that our clients struggle with, and we try to, help them analyze and interpret what's going on with their advertising. Advertising is hugely expensive on Amazon and on Google and Facebook. Those folks are really making good money, and it's at the expense of our clients. So we have to help them understand which of those products are really benefiting from advertising, which ones don't have the margin to be even support the advertising, that kind of thing. So those are the three areas in the e-commerce space that we dive deep into.
Got it. What are some success stories that you've had?
A couple that come to mind. One is a client who came to us that was really struggling, and the business looked like it was going to fail. And we implemented Profit First. We got control over how he was ordering inventory, worked on helping him establish some minimum order quantities and some warehousing situations with his manufacturer that gave him a little bit more runway with his product in terms of when he had to pay for it, et cetera. He was very good in the advertising space, so he had that pretty well dialed in. OpEx, though, was killing him. And so, we went through and really managed to reduce out all the stuff that was not contributing and bringing in value. And he turned it around, and he did really well with the business and ultimately sold it. And now he can focus on the other three businesses that he's running, because that was always one of his challenges, was to keep a close eye on something, because he had three or four other things going on at the same time. But it was great to see him get that business turned around and then make a successful exit as a result.
That's amazing. So what's next for Bookskeep?
We're focusing on CFO services, because we've had so many of these businesses where we've been able to dive deep into the levers that make them work, that we're really focusing on being able to take those clients that we've got their books in order. Now we want to really help them dial in how they can become more profitable. So our CFO services are an area of huge focus right now, that we just see the clients having a tough year of it. And we want to ensure that that we work with them and we get them turned around, so that they come out of this looking good, having that successful exit if that's what they want.
Got it. Cindy, what are you on a journey to master?
Myself. Yeah, it's myself.
Dig deeper. What does that mean when you say you're on a journey to master yourself?
I've allowed my health and my fitness to kind of take a back seat as I've grown this business. And I've realized now how important it is that I feel good and that I show up feeling good for my clients. And so eating right, exercising every day, those are the things that I'm really concentrating on for myself.
Got it. That makes perfect sense. I often say that as entrepreneurs, business owners, sometimes we are the last thing that we think about. We make sure our team is paid. We make sure the vendors are paid, the bills are paid, but we don't make sure that we got enough sleep the night before so that we could think clearly, or we don't make sure that our mental health is in order. So it's really refreshing to hear you say that, because I think that's a conversation we need to have more in this space. Is we have to put our oxygen mask on first. Otherwise, we cannot be the best we can be for other folks. As the old saying goes, time flies when you're having fun. We've come to the end of our conversation. If people want to reach out to you, learn more about you, about your business, how can they do that?
A couple of ways. You can go to cindythomason.com. I've got a website there. It's really featuring my books. So, you can learn more about the books I've written. Or you can go to Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I, at Bookskeep, BookskeeP.com. And that's more about the accounting business, the CFO services, et cetera.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Cindy.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
What a fantastic episode. Hey, listen, I want to know something. What is the top concern that you have in your business? Is it sales?
Is it marketing? Is it finance? Operations? Shoot me an email, mayor@podcasttown.net. I want to start a conversation around these areas of business and how we can work together and help each other shine even brighter.